man behind the machine.
You are listening to Man Behind the Machine.
Obsoleto. Ops. Obsoleto.
How you doing?
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks. How are you?
Good. Good, thanks.
Calling from your Apple Vision?
Not yet, man.
Not yet.
Got another 10 days to wait.
Whoa. And then you're going to get it?
Yeah.
Whoa. Yep. Okay.
It's coming.
Whoa. Yeah?
February 2nd, I'll get it.
Yeah, I heard that they're going on scalping on eBay for $10,000.
What?
Yeah, people are already listing them.
Mm-hmm.
Did you hear about that?
I didn't hear the $10,000 price point, but you know, it wasn't surprising.
Yeah, they're listing it. They're gonna order it and put it up. Well, that's exciting. I bet you can't wait.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm pretty stoked. Pretty, I mean, every year you get a new iPhone, but it does like a couple new things. It's pretty rare you get the whole new computer platform.
What's the first thing you're going to do with it?
I'm going to turn it on and strap it on my head.
Yeah?
I don't even know what I'm going to do. I mean, it's like an exploration.
Yeah.
Just trying to figure out what it can do and how it works for me and so forth.
Are you going to work on any programs for it or what?
Thank you for listening to Man Behind the Machine. Obsoleto.
Okay.
You know, it'll run in emulation mode just as an iPhone app.
You can find us on platforms. Thanks for listening.
If there's a bunch of errors.
Yeah.
If it's written for iOS.
Yep.
In certain ways, so.
Okay.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a whole brand new beginning. Something new to learn and understand. Experience, so that's cool.
And I thought you had to go in the store to get it.
No, you can go in the store, but I just chose to have them ship it to me.
Okay.
Well, if you go in the store, they give you a hands-on unboxing and everything.
Oh, okay.
I actually screwed up. I thought it was coming out this Friday, like in 2 days from now.
Yeah.
When I ordered it, so it was telling me, and you know, in the order process, you're scrambling because you want to be the first one. You don't want to take too long to place the order, or you'll get put to the back of the line, and then you won't get it on time. So I was like just passing through very quickly, and it was like I realized, oh well, I'm going to be in LA on Friday, and I'm going to be traveling in the airplane, so I can't really pick it up at the Apple Store. So I just have it shipped to me. I was off by a week, and it's coming next week, not this week. So I could have gone to the store and picked it up, and there's going to be a special bag for it and so forth. I would have done that had I realized, but it's okay if they ship it to me, that's fine. But they did post the video online of the guided tour, so you can see that. I mean, it's better to try it on, obviously, but all the contents of the guided tour are actually...
There's so many clickbait articles. I get so tired of it. Like yesterday, I don't even know who it was, and it doesn't matter. But they're like, why the Apple Vision isn't for you? And it's like, you know, how they just kind of...
Plus $4,000 to begin with.
Right. Or one journalist who got one sent to him by Apple said, okay, I've used the Apple Vision. I don't even know what I'll use it for in my real life. So, how do you respond to that?
Well, they sold 180,000 of them in 15 minutes. I mean,
Jeez.
It's not for everyone. It's not for everyone. The same way, yeah. Even an iPhone is not for everyone. You don't hand an iPhone to a 4-year-old kid. You got to wait until the kid's like 10 or 15 before you give them an iPhone. Even an iPhone is not for all people. Like, a lot of people are abusing and misusing the technology, and a lot of people walk around with phones that are probably a flip phone would be better for many people, but they have an iPhone, so the price point's lower there. But like, if you look at this thing and you're like, I don't know what I would use that for, it's very expensive,
yeah,
you shouldn't buy it. If you're like me and you look at it and you're like, oh right, my god, like this would let me do 45 minutes of work in 30 minutes and stop from getting interrupted in the middle and not getting it done. If I can do that a couple of times a day, every day, I mean, I'm 2xing my output. Like, to me, if it can improve my efficiency and my ergonomics, even a little bit, it allows me to get so much more done in a way that's so much more healthy to my physical body that I can continue doing my career for longer and enhance my quality of life. So, for me, that's a no-brainer.
You're listening to Man Behind the Machine. Toledo.
I got a Mac Pro. A MacBook Pro.
Yeah.
I got an iPad Pro. I got iPhone Pro. When you add it up, I don't know, that's like $7,000 worth of equipment. And it's just a laptop, an iPhone, and an iPad.
Right.
But I run my whole life on those things. I run my whole career on those things. I mean,
right, exactly.
How much you spend for your car.
Right.
I don't necessarily need my car. I could take an Uber. But I do need my laptop and I do need my phone.
Right.
Replace this with anything else.
Well, that's your lifeblood. Like, yeah. Yeah. It makes sense for you. Yeah. You're a developer.
That doesn't seem so wild. Yeah. Right. And then if I could add on this new thing that lets me have 20 windows open at a time instead of 2 windows that I can see at once, then hey, like,
what?
That really helped me.
Up to 20 windows at a time?
Well, up to infinite number of it's wow. Like basically you can run any iPad app, but you have the window management of like a Mac, but it's really broken outside of the Mac screen. So you can have 100 iPad apps open if you want. You can put them anywhere you want in the room.
That's cool.
And you're not constantly switching back and forth trying to figure out where
that's cool.
If I have 3 files open, I can put them all right there next to each other. Big, and I'm not having to switch between them in context switch. So,
right.
I think it's going to be a huge force multiplier for people like me. And, like,
yeah, that's cool, man.
Like, every day I'm getting older, and there's someone newer coming along. Like, if you don't enhance your skills and learn new skills, you're falling behind constantly in what I'm doing. So, if this gives me the ability to stay on the cutting edge and to take a leap forward, I need to do that, or someone else is going to do it and leave me behind. So this to me is like, we were able to build a lot with what we have, but what we're building is getting bigger and more complex, and we need new tools to be able to build the next big thing. And this is the new tool that's going to help us build the next space shuttle or the next vision, whatever comes, the next artificial heart transplant, the next brain surgery,
Let me ask you this. Is the Apple Vision Pro the death of the personal computer as we know it?
It's like the dissolution of the personal computer. It's like as if it vaporized and then infused the space around us.
Okay.
So it just, if you smash the computer and explode it into a million little particles that then are in the air and in the wall and the table, and it's living all around us, and we can activate it just by touching it or talking to it, that's what this is.
Yeah. So is it the death of the personal computer or an evolution?
No, I mean,
you know, like the idea of having a tower, a mouse, a keyboard, all the stuff that you got to plug in, you know.
That already kind of has been on the decline. I mean, if you look at, first you had that desktop computer, then you had a laptop computer that combined it all, but it was portable, it was wireless, but it had keyboard, mouse, or trackpad, and screen. So it was that triad of screen, keyboard, and mouse or trackpad. Then it got combined even further down into the phone, and it was just like this one piece of glass, and it was a screen that was also a keyboard, that was also a mouse or a pointer, and you just touched it and used your finger, so that was kind of a new computing paradigm. But this is a totally different human interface design where you don't need to use a keyboard, you don't need to use a mouse. Like, it's tracking your eye movements and it's tracking your hand movements and really adapting to you more. So if anything, I think this is more personal, because they call it a personal computer because you can buy it and put it on your desk and it's a one-to-one, one person has one computer. But really, the human has to do the adaption to the computer. The human, like, you look at the keyboard, Q-W-E-R-T-Y, what is that? Like, why doesn't it say A-B-C-D? It's like, why do I have to move this mouse thing around to see a cursor on the screen? It's like the human's doing all the adaptation to give the input into the computer. Now, finally, with the Vision Pro, the computer is just watching the human and adapting to what the human does. So the human doesn't need to do this adjustment to get to a space where the computer can understand it. The computer can just understand what you want and what you're, almost as if it's reading your mind.
Wow, so it's computer assisted.
I'm so sleepy.
And I imagine there's a lot of artificial intelligence in these systems, right?
Yeah. I mean, just the way that it tracks you in space, and it can track your hand movements, and all of that is using AI under the hood. Not in a way of generative AI like ChatGPT, but in a way that deep learning, like you can have a system and then train it and then give it an input and get an output.
Yeah.
In a way that you didn't really build an algorithm per se, but you built a system that can learn and then respond.
So you know Apple history, and you know you have a good handle on the company. How far back has the Apple Vision been in the works, and has Steve Jobs, was he a part of this vision, or no?
I don't know that it's knowable. Like, we, being on the outside, can't know that, but I think general feeling is like this has been under development for no less than 5 years, maybe closer to 10 years. But even given that's after the realm of Steve Jobs' time. So
beyond, you know, Steve Jobs, right?
Yeah, I think so. There's this quote in the Steve Jobs autobiography, the biography, where he has this eureka moment and he says, "I figured it out." And he's talking about what is the interface for TV. And it was like one of his visions of what is TV going to be like. And maybe it was the Apple TV, or maybe it was the Siri remote where you just talk to Siri and say what I want to watch, or maybe it was like the fact that now we have apps instead of channels to get the things we want. And you don't really know what he meant by that eureka, "I finally got it, I finally cracked it," is what he said. But we think it has to do with basically the way Apple moved into their content strategy for video and the interface being apps and voice to watch TV.
So when Steve Jobs is writing this in his autobiography, he says, "I've got this eureka moment," but he doesn't go into description of it. Is that correct?
Right. Right.
Okay. So we don't know.
But I think we don't know, but I always felt the influence was like the way we use Apple TV now.
Yeah.
So
Apple TV.
If you look at the iPad, what year did the iPad come out? 2010, I think.
Yeah. About then. Yeah. 2008 or 2000?
No, because iPhone came out 2007, 2008. So I think it was closer to 2010, I think. And that was an idea that Steve Jobs had in the 80s. And he built a prototype of an iPad in the 1980s. And he would bring it around and show people. And it was just like this small sheet of glass, this little rectangular prism, that was like the size and shape of a notebook, basically. and it didn't function, and it wasn't electronics. It was just the form factor that he would show it to people and say, this is the future. It's going to be just a sheet of glass, and we're going to see everything. Wow. We're going to touch it. It's going to be completely wireless. And it took 20, 30 years until the technology caught up with that vision. So it's hard to know what he was thinking and how much he thought about this or knew about this or this. I mean, at that time, they did have the somewhat approximation of this technology was available at, like, at Brown University. They had the cave in the late 90s, and that was, like, a fully immersive video.
Well, they had yeah, and they had touch screen pens, screens, computers back going back to the 60s. Mm-hmm. You know, light pens, right? They had those. Mm-hmm. Right? Some of the technology existed.
So we had to be aware that now this was, you're talking about like $1 million installation or hundreds of thousands of dollars for fighter pilots and for simulation, you know, training simulators and things like that. Really, only super expensive, high-end use cases that would make sense to spend $100,000 or $200,000 on something like this. Because if you crash a real plane, it's going to cost millions to replace it. So you don't want someone training in a real plane. But
right.
So I think he had to have some awareness that, like, this is a future technology, but I don't know if he felt like the whole spatial computing thing, like, I'm not sure how he felt about that, because notoriously he had ideas he felt were bad. Like, he thought the iPad at first was a bad idea, the smaller iPad, and he said you'd have to shave down your fingers. And
oh, he thought it was a bad idea?
Yeah, to do the iPad mini.
Oh, okay.
He thought putting iTunes on PC was a bad idea. There were a lot, and that totally eclipsed. I mean, that iTunes on the PC is what enabled the iPod to really take off.
Right.
And
yeah, you're looking at them. You're looking at one of them.
Yeah.
Right. I mean, yeah, I had a G4. I had a G4, but I did have to install iTunes on Windows at some point to get something working. So, yeah.
So that a lot of people didn't have a G4, and they would have never bought an iPod without iTunes on Windows. But that was he thought that was a bad idea, because he said, why give people a reason to buy Windows? We should force them to buy a Mac if they want something as cool as an iPod. And that ended up being the wrong idea. The right idea was just give it to everybody, and then they're more likely to buy it. And then you had this juggernaut that was the iPod that totally changed your whole industry and enabled us to then move into the iPhone and on and on. So it's just hard to know.
Right. You
can have a lot of ideas for what's going to end up getting productized at what in what year.
So Tim Cook is the brainiac behind the vision, then? He gets the credit?
I don't think so. I mean, Tim Cook, if you have to give Tim Cook credit for something, I mean, he's really been a good steward of the Apple brand and product. I mean, yeah. He's really an operational execution guy, and he's done great at that. But if you had to look at any legacy of, like, a product that he built, I would say services. If you look at Apple's file, you know, they do their quarterly earnings call and so forth, and they talk about, like, how much money they made from iPhones and Macs, and about 5 years ago, they started pushing this new segment called services. Yeah. And they have wearables, that's another one. So that's like the watch and the AirPods, and now it's going to be the Vision. The Vision will go into the wearables category. But he really, I feel like it was his idea to say, we're going to have this thing, a new product that's called services. That is, we sell people cloud storage, and we sell people apps, and we sell people, we're going to not just have the App Store on its own. We're not just going to have iCloud on its own. We're not just going to have Apple Music or Apple TV Plus. We're going to combine all those things into this new product that we call services. Oh. And watch how this grows. And watch the profit margins on this. Because when you have a hardware product, it's expensive to source all the material, build it, assemble it, test it, throw away the rejects. And then you got to put a markup on it, and you got to compete in the marketplace. It's, like, really hard to make a profit on a hardware product. get a software product that's a purely virtual digital product, the profit margin in a sense is infinite. It costs next to nothing to host that and to distribute that. I mean, there is a cost. It's not an infinite market, but you can make double, triple, quadruple the market that you can make on a hardware thing. So to say you have a free product that's got a new higher margin, profit margin, and it is just growing. Every year it's growing, and now it's getting really big. It's the question for so long was, what's next after the iPhone? They made a new hit, and how could you beat the iPhone? The iPhone was the most successful product in the history of the world. How could you follow that up and have something even more successful? It's like really, really hard. It may be impossible. Yet this services thing, everyone just needs it to operate all their other digital life. So it caught on and it's been growing a lot. So I think that gave Wall Street a story that was like, oh, they do have a new product. And if you look at the growth of the company and the growth of the valuation of the stock and market cap, he just killed it. I mean, there's no single CEO, I think, that's more responsible for a success of just heralding the brand and the company in the eyes of the world. The other thing he did really well was navigate the whole China thing. First, they broke into the China market using China as a partner. Now they're divesting from the China market to an extent, and he's been able to do this all diplomatically and strongly, but without hurting anyone's feelings or offending anyone. I think even more so than like Trump. I mean, the president, like the presidents are supposed to be the ones really doing international diplomatic relations. Tim Cook is the one in there doing the diplomatic relations.
I think that Steve Jobs made the right decision when he chose Tim Cook to usher forward Apple into the next century.
Right. You know, like, he's proven that he was the right person.
Yes. And I think Jobs knew he needed to place it in capable hands. Right? Yeah, I was just curious if, I mean, I know all these engineers worked on the vision, but I was just curious if, like, this is his legacy, you know? Like, I understand what you're saying about services, but to the outside world, they want to look at, like, the technological, physical part. What can he do now that Steve is out of the picture? So right, you're saying he's not going to get credit then?
No, I think time will tell. I mean, he has been heralding AR and VR for quite some time, mainly AR.
Okay.
Sort of wink, wink, nudge, nudge, he knows something's coming, but they've been building it out in the open for ages with the way they built the pipeline for the 3D formats that are inherent in the system and the authoring tools. They've been doing these AR kit and AR experiences on the phone, even though we know it would be better on a headset. Like, there was not a headset yet, so they do it on the phone instead to approximate the experience. And like, I think he has brought the concept of AR to Wall Street a lot, and he did it in a slowly measured way. And now we see the final end game or parts of the end game. So I think take big credit, and like I think also he was responsible for shipping it in its current state. Like, I think probably a lot of people inside Apple would have said it's not ready yet, you need another 2 years to shrink it more, to get the frame rate up. Like this is a compromised device. They did the best thing they could do at a most reasonable price point they could meet, but it's not a consumer device. Not everyone's going to be buying or using this. Like, that will come 3 years from now when the price is closer to $1,500 rather than $4,000, then it's not this huge thing that's covering the face. Maybe it's smaller, maybe it's more transparent. I don't know what that's going to look like in the future, but I think he forced their hand. Tim Cook said, no, we've been working on this long enough. We spent hundreds of millions of dollars on this already. we need to ship something. We need to show what we're doing. We need to ship this and give, let people see what we did and just sell it. Like, I think he forced it to go in its current form factor, maybe ahead of the time a lot of people inside Apple would have preferred it. And I think part of that is, like, probably he's getting old. I mean, he's been doing this job a long time. It's not an easy job. He's rich as heck at this point. He probably, he says he's never going to retire, but I don't know. I think at some point he's going to want to retire. And I think he could do a lot of the great things. He says he wants to spend the rest of his time at Apple too, but I think he could do a lot of the great things outside of Apple. So, or maybe be on the board of Apple, but not doing the day-to-day CEO stuff that is a grind in a heck, in a half. It's just like, he's got to kind of put a pin in his legacy, like you're saying, and this is a part of getting over the extra wrong, where you're saying, well, I did the watch, I did services, I did this Vision Pro, and I started this whole new platform, and once that's out and got a pretty stable foothold, then he could retire realistically and say he's got this great legacy. So I think it could all factor into that. But I'm just, you know, just guessing like everyone else.
Well, you're going to be able to put those goggles on and witness the sheer genius of all these engineers and this momentous, you know, point in history.
Yeah, that, so much work got put into this.
You
so
know,
much
you're probably going to see in the history books. You know, it's going to change technological teaching about things as well in history, and you know,
yeah.
Who knows what how it's going to impact. But I think we've seen a shift. You know, and some people are still going to want a traditional keyboard. You know, right?
And you can use a traditional keyboard with this, so you can just have a Bluetooth keyboard and
oh, yeah?
plug in.
Oh.
But yeah, it'll hook up to a keyboard and you can just type if you're doing like long form writing, and that works better for you. You can do that.
Okay, awesome. About the Palm Pilot comment.
I am deadly serious, bro. Have you ever used a Meta Oculus?
I have. I've used Oculus Quest.
Okay. What was your impression?
I mean, it took time to get adjusted to it because of the nature of VR, you know, and there's all these controls that I have to be aware of because I was using the handheld, you know, the hand controllers.
Oh, so no one set it up for you. You had to do, you did it yourself.
Well, it was my buddy's. Yeah, he's got the Quest, the Oculus Quest and the hand controllers, but it's not like, you know, I was getting tutoring like in the moment, like I had already put on the goggles, you know.
But you can't see him while he's tutoring you.
I mean, yeah, and I mean, I played Star Trek on it. Very cool, very impressive. I don't know, it just takes an adjustment, you know, to be able to do that. I don't know, have you tried the Meta?
Just used it last week when I was in LA, and the thing was, I just couldn't get it to fit nicely on my face, and it was like the plastic nose thing was just crushing my nose, and it kept shifting, and I had to fit my glasses in between the screen and my eyes, and it was like, so it was moving around, but if it moved even a little bit, it would all go out of focus.
Oh, okay.
But I was playing Beat Saber. So the whole point is you're moving around, so it's constantly either shifting down and crushing my face and the bridge of my nose and my glasses, or shifting back and sliding just a little bit out of focus. So nothing was ever in focus. Like 50% of the time it was out of focus for me. Okay. And by the time I played one game, I was like, that's enough.
Really?
You know, I didn't want to do anymore because it was really just uncomfortable. Like, it wasn't a good fit. I would need prescription lenses to use something like that, but I tried it without my glasses, and I couldn't see anything. So that was pointless.
Oh.
So I had to wear my glasses, but it wasn't really made for that. So that was part of the problem. Like, but it just didn't feel comfortable at all. And I don't know how I could wear it for more than 10 minutes.
Okay. So not impressive.
And that's why I say Palm Pilot, because
Palm Pilot.
People used to use Palm Pilot. People used to use a Trio, but they don't use that anymore because right. It really sucks. And they only used it because they had to, but as soon as there was something better, they used that instead. And they would just not choose a Palm Pilot. And that's what I think that Oculus, like, it really hit its peak popularity. And your story is the same as other people's. It's like, oh, I used an Oculus. It's not like I used it every day or I'm using it still. It's like I used it, I played with it a while, I put it away, I haven't right. used it in a few months. So nobody's using it. So it could just literally disappear and not be the Android to the Apple Vision Pro's iPhone. It might just be buried in the dustbin of history and never go anywhere.
But isn't that alarming, ironic, or whatever you want to call it, that instead of him saying, we want to beat Apple, the guy's like giving up. The guy's like, we're just going to be like Android.
I think he knows a lot more than we do about the space, and I think he's speaking the truth. I mean, he's saying what he believes, so.
Yeah, but that doesn't say much for his confidence. If you want to be second best.
Yeah. Right, and there's a reason for that, is what I'm saying. We both used it. He used the same thing we use, and it's just not good at all. Like, it's unusable. Like I played with that woman's Oculus for 5 minutes, and I would never pay even a dollar. If you gave it to me for free, I would say, no, thank you. I don't need to give it to someone else who appreciates it.
Yeah, but in all honesty, aren't you a little biased? Don't you think just giving him the benefit?
Not having physical discomfort.
Right, but so you're not biased against it.
No, I asked to use it. I went into it with an open mind.
Open mind,
like because I had heard Beat Saber's cool, and it's supposed to be the killer app, and it was so good that Facebook bought them, and now it's exclusive. So I know I won't even get to try it on Apple Vision. So I was like, oh, okay, never, you know.
Yeah.
Let me, at least she's got it. Let me try it. So I was excited to try it. And like, the game part of it was cool. It was just unplayable because the thing was so heavy and uncomfortable and not fitting me properly that it was moving around and I couldn't even see it. So, like, they need to solve that problem or there is no product to it. That's the thing. And I just think this is not good enough. There's a bunch of garbage that people don't buy because it's not good enough. And right. maybe some of it ends up at the dollar store and someone else is willing to pay a dollar even though it sucks. I don't know. Like,
right.
maybe if Oculus costs a dollar, a lot of people would buy it just to check their email because it's cheaper than an iPhone. So maybe to them it makes sense.
That's funny. Well, I mean, why is it taking so long for VR to get off since the 80s or, you know?
Because it's really, really hard.
Okay.
And it's like fundamental laws of physics and advancement in technology are converging. It's the most complicated device ever built. That's what it takes to enable this. So it's going to take many iterations, I feel like, to get it great. And Facebook currently just sucks ass. And no one will buy it or use it. And if you go online and look around, a lot of people are saying they tried it and they didn't like it. So that doesn't bode well. Like why would you buy a Quest 3 if you bought the Quest 2 and it's not that good?
Right.
I don't know. I think we'll see how good the Vision Pro is, but I think Apple did the right thing in pricing it so high and making it so awesome. So it at least had a chance of being good enough. I think they used these other headsets and realized no one would want to be using this.
Jeez.
So.
Have I ever told you that when I go to the resale shop, there's like a graveyard of VR goggles. It's ridiculous. It's ridiculous. People give them, they donate. It's a charity, the store. It's a Christian charity. And so people donate. I mean, think about it. Did people bought these goggles? Now they're selling for $2. You know?
Right. It's, and does anyone buy them, or are they just
sitting there? No, they just sit there and they pile up and they keep putting them there.
So they'll be recycled, I guess.
Apparently, or they just dump them in the garbage at some point if people don't buy them.
Yeah, so. I don't think I'm going to be dumping the Vision Pro in the garbage. That way.
Yeah. Yeah. The Palm Pilot.
Windows CE.
Palm Pilot failed because it was competing with Windows?
I think it failed. It was competing with BlackBerry. BlackBerry really took out Palm Pilot, and then iPhone took out BlackBerry.
Okay.
And Samsung.
But even before iPhone, Windows came out with their own phone.
Yeah, they had Windows Mobile, and after iPhone, they also came out with Windows Mobile. Before they had Windows CE, and after they had Windows Mobile.
Yeah. I remember my buddy showing me his Windows 95 cell phone back in the day.
Whoa.
Yeah, he spent like a mint on it. $1,500 or something at the time.
Yeah, it's like a business machine.
Yeah. I'm like, Windows 95 phone? Yeah. And I don't even know if he needed it. But anyways, interesting.
Yeah.
That you used the Oculus Quest, and then what? How did you say? Did you, when she said, did you like it? Or what'd you say?
I was like, okay, I'm done. Thank you. You know, that was cool. I didn't trash it then. I mean, she could see I was struggling trying to get it to work with my glasses.
Oh. You put it over the glasses?
Yeah, you have no option.
So by trying it out, this confirms to you that it's not the same as Apple Vision, right?
Well, I haven't tried Apple Vision, but I just... It's easy to think it's cool when you haven't used it, and then when you use it, it's really uncomfortable, and that's not a good thing. That right. Can't work. And you gotta use it to realize... And I talked to VP of virtual reality or something, director of virtual reality or something at PwC. He got promoted to be fully about the mess. He's like, oh, no, they got to get the weight way down. And it just gets sweaty inside of there, and, like, I'm not about it. And I was shocked to hear him say that because
really?
He's the director of virtual reality at a big company.
And he's talking about Vision? Or
no,
Quest?
This was right when they announced it. He hasn't tried Vision yet.
Okay.
So.
But he's talking about the weight of the Vision or the Quest?
Everyone that he's used, including the Vision. He was reacting to the Vision based on his experience of using all these other headsets that were not the Vision. And he's saying, well, I'm not excited about it. These things are way too heavy and sweaty on your face.
Well, maybe there's something to the Google Glass, you know? Like, if they can make it that light, where it's like putting spectacles on, is that the answer, eventually?
Just a different product.
Different product. Or an evolution of it. Okay.
I can't open it before she gets... She has to peel the label off that. Yeah. I must be there for the unboxing, she says.
That's awesome. When are you getting it?
Friday.
Whoa.
And they just confirmed my shipment for my prescription lenses that go in.
Okay. It's going to take some time It's going to take some time to get used to it, huh?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Hey, bro.
Great reviews, and the images are amazing. That, yep. You know, the 4K video of the person sitting there in the environment. I mean, I don't know, man. It looks sci-fi to me. I mean, isn't that like what we imagined in the movies years ago? Or like with Star Trek, where they did the hologram?
Totally.
And I don't know. What are your thoughts?
I mean, it's futuristic in so many ways. It is like the holodeck or the hologram, but also just being able to, you know, that the computer is watching your eyes and watching your hands and body, and it's such a lightweight interaction. You know, you look somewhere and that comes into focus. You tap your fingers and you select it. It's really the computer more molding to us instead of vice versa, so...
Yeah,
I think it's just a really immersive. We're going out. We're going from the point where it's like you walk up to a computer and interface with a computer, to the computer's all around you, surrounding you all the time.
Yeah,
you're inside the computer. So, but I think like from a greater perspective, spatial computing. This is the first desktop. Spatial computing platform,
yes.
If you want to call it, it's not desktop, but you know, a terminal, if you want to call it a personal computer into spatial computing, but yes. Actually, like spatial computing also covers like so many other things, like for instance, self-driving. To have a self-driving car, you have to have a car that is filled with sensors, aware of where it is at all time. If you look at a Tesla and you look at an Apple Vision Pro, they're not too different at a fundamental level. If you took the tires off the Tesla and instead strapped it to someone's head, like it knows where it's got gyroscopes, it's got other type of motion sensors, it's got cameras facing out, it's got cameras facing in. It's got a display of what it understands of the world around it, superimposed on top of the world around it. And then as you move through reality, it knows where it is. It knows what's happening, and it reacts accordingly. And that is kind of a pretty good description of the Vision Pro also. So really, this is just one part of spatial computing, but spatial computing as a sector is going to be more pervasive, and it's really going to upend a lot of different industries.
Wow.
As it rolls out.
Let me ask you this. I know you say, you know, that this is the first spatial computing platform or computer,
mm-hmm.
you know, or spatial computing system, but in your studies, either in engineering or in the history of computing, anything that you studied, were people talking about this?
They've been talking about this for a long time. I mean, even in the 90s, like they had the cave at Brown University, which was not exactly the same, but it was like it was more virtual reality instead of augmented reality. But I think you didn't even have to wear a headset. I think you just wore 3D glasses, but it was a whole room that was like a holodeck that showed the reality around you.
Cave.
Yeah, the cave, that's what it was.
And you saw this, or you saw it in, the history book?
No, I went to it. I saw it in the history book, and then I went and got to use it Brown University, yeah. And it was, and we each only got, a five-minute demo, and they spent millions on this room. But they had projectors. It was a five-sided cube, so the one side of the cube that was missing is where you enter through.
Yeah.
But then the three walls and the floor and the ceiling all were covered with projectors, 3D projectors, and then it would track your head and your hands, and it would know where you were and what you were looking at, what you're doing, and react to that. So that was happening in the mid-90s, and it was completed by, year 2000. It was done. So,
And was that an amazing experience, the cave?
I wouldn't say it was was amazing. It was cool.
No?
It was a lot of, it was more like a proof of concept or a demo. And part of it was just about being immersed inside something where you could be inside. One of the demos they give was about protein folding, and there was a molecule that was a protein, and you zoom down inside of it, and then you're inside of it, and you can look around at the different atoms and the bonds and so forth. And it was a cool demo, but to me it didn't feel magical. Like, yeah. For a magic trick to work, the technique, the mechanism that makes it work has to be hidden from sight.
Oh.
Because if you know how the magic trick works, it's not magic anymore. So this was kind of like that. The mechanism that made it work, it was all right there. It was a huge apparatus all around you that you're wearing, that you're inside of. It was like, wow, this is a really cool technology demo, but this is not magical because I see how they're doing it. I think Vision Pro is more like a pair of glasses you put on and you don't see them pulling the strings around you. It just works. So, but for me, I the killer app is not some super futuristic thing. It's really just a big, nice monitor for my desktop that's going to make it easier for me to do my job without scrunching over, leaning into a computer screen all the time. I can lean back. I can make the screen big. I can sit how is comfortable for me without adapting my own body to the profile of the computer. So I don't need a lot of magical. My use case for it, what I'm going to use it for, is pretty narrow. And then I'll inherit all the rest of it by default, and I'll play with that too. But really, for me, it's just a productivity tool.
Right.
So
exciting! It's gonna be like Christmas or Hanukkah tomorrow.
Yeah, it will be.
Oh yeah! Please promise me, do not open it until I am home. Please, do not.
Yeah.
Exciting.
And she said, if it gets there before she does, I gotta go pick her up early from school.
There you go.
If I
That's funny. It's I wouldn't know where to begin. But obviously you have your work, so you probably have ideas, but do you go to the Yellowstone National Park?
All the way to the moon if you want, but really you could just also go into your email or go into your photos and just browse your content. You can open your notes application and look at your notes. So you could do very simple things too. You could go to the app store and browse the apps and see what's available.
Yeah.
There's gonna be over a million apps available at launch because they're opting in everybody automatically. So if there's an iPhone or iPad app that you have, you're just gonna right off the bat be able to install that and use that, more than likely. Developers can opt out if they want to, so some won't be available. But yeah, it'll do the basic things too.
Yeah.
You saw that video I sent with Brian Tong where he played with the DJ set?
Very cool, yes. Oh yeah.
Yeah. There's another section in there where he watches basketball,
yeah.
And it's the NBA app. That's another one you should look at. That's just amazing because did you ever go into one of these sports bars that specializes in showing the game and they have like 30 TVs?
Yeah.
You can build that for yourself in the Vision Pro and you can be watching 5 different basketball games at the same time and have one big in the middle and the other 4 smaller on the sides, and then you can have the stats on the left, and then you can it's like just amazing what you can do in there. So it is exciting. I think it's going to unlock a whole new set of possibilities for people. And I haven't put too much thought into it because I'm just cranking along doing my thing. You know, I've been going through a lot. I have a lot on my plate.
Yeah.
So I didn't do any development. I'm just going to be a user. When it comes out, I'm going to get it. Then I'm going to start using it. And we'll see what happens. So I haven't been planning too much. I think it'll just naturally. And then the other thing is, like, how comfortable is it going to be for your head, your face, your eyes?
Right.
Is it going to get annoying after 30 minutes or an hour or 2 hours or four? Like, how much can I really wear it? Like, am I going to be wearing it all day, or am I going to be wearing it 1 hour at a time just for certain tasks? And that I don't know yet. Like, we'll have to see.
Well, you can carry it around you the whole time, depending on how heavy it is on your head, you know. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, it's like...
There was one interview, a demo by Joanna Stern, and she's cooking it. And there's a recipe.
Oh.
There's an app called Crouton, and it gives you the recipe, and she chooses the recipe. And then it just takes you step by step. And like, so she's able to cut the mushrooms and everything. Then she puts the pasta in the pot to boil, and it says, okay, 7 minutes. And it creates a timer, and it puts a timer over the boiling pot of water.
Oh, yeah?
And then she starts the sauce, and she starts putting stuff in that pot. And then that gives a different timer over that, over the pan. So it's like she's got two timers going on the stove for two different ingredients. So that was pretty cool. I mean, to think that you could be using this to help you cook. I mean, I don't know. Probably that's not so necessary. But maybe if I were repairing an engine, then it would make more sense. Like, so those are very high-end uses that will come out in industries where there's a lot of money involved, and there's going to be a return on investment for those industries. And those aren't going to really apply to you and me very often, but that's where a lot of the innovation will come from.
I'm excited to see. You're going to be like Superman.
Yep.
With coding.
Yep. And then also it's just about... you could just do a FaceTime call, and you can have that connection, and the FaceTime call is way better on the Vision, because you can put different people in different places, like you would have them in a room. Did you ever have a Zoom call or something, and there's like a few people, and they're all kind of in that grid of faces?
Yeah.
I mean, here you could break each face out. And
that's what I don't like about the calls we do. I have to side scroll just to see who's in the room.
Right, exactly.
It's annoying.
And then, like, you might pin one person, and it's just you don't like, Zoom controls who you're seeing at what time. Oh, there's Martina. Kitty cat's back. So this way you can break out each individual person's window and put it where you want it.
Wow. Pretty amazing.
Yeah.
Pretty amazing.
Yes, sir. Was it cold out there?
Huh?
The little cat came back. I'm talking to the cat.
It was 54 degrees yesterday here.
Oh, nice. Very, very mild.
Inside the computer.
It just is what it is. So you want to fly away from bases.
I haven't seen that happen yet.
That's probably because you've been in this area where they're two together. If we fast travel to the metal base, which is where I want you to go, and I'm going to load that up with shit to make us goods over there, then yes, my guys will get shitty. If you fast travel and then I fly over there afterwards, we're fine. As long as the last person to leave the base flies away from it. Right, we're going to fix that. That's why we need to go to the metal base. So finish whatever you're doing over there. Pull in all your stuff, and let me know once you fast travel to the metal base.
I don't know where the metal base is.
So if you press M and look straight east, it should be the only thing that you can see if you haven't been over there.
Oh, that base?
Yeah.
The big main middle base?
Is the one that's up on, like, a plateau?
Yeah, do you need me to bring anything?
No. I mean, take all your critters with you. Don't leave anything in that base.
No, I took all the critters out already.
Yep, go over there.
You got plenty of metal over there?
I'll show you.
Alright, so you said it. Just fast travel to that base.
Yep.
That's gonna help.
On my way. I know. I watched your arrow move. I am already flying there. Now, if you have any critters in net base, take those out too.
Revive.
Yeah.
I don't.
Awesome.
Is this daydream any good?
It's nice to start out with, but you're not gonna like it for long. They're kind of weak.
What?
Seems that way.
I mean, they're fine in the beginning. Literally, you need to do nothing but capture 10 Pokemon of every kind for the first, like, ways. You know, until you're happy with your unlocks. And then, you know, it'll eventually go back to that always. Like, you eventually need to get, like, 10 of everything in the game, including all the bosses.
Gross. All right, where are you?
Flying as fast as the Polaris goes, which is the second fastest creature in the game.
What's the fastest?
The Jetragon. I have one, but I haven't pimped it out. And because I haven't pimped it out, it's not faster than this one yet.
Pimp my ride? Though.
Yes. So we have to breed them until we can get like the specific add-ons for them to have like the speed boosts and all that, and then we're good. We'll get you one eventually. I'm almost here. Jetragon is one of the last ones you're going to get. It's a level 50 critter. Unless we breed him and you get one that way. I'm telling you, it's worth fighting. It's fun. That's one of the fun ones to fight. I know, I'm coming. I'm almost there. Almost there. I intend to redo this whole base this weekend when I have time. I gotta do our campaign stuff for the week though before I can let myself do that, because this is gonna take a long time.
What am I supposed to be doing right now?
It'll make sense in a minute.
Holden, you're just shitting up Pokemans.
This is my metal base setup one.
Okay. Ooh, what's the black dragon?
Red wings. He likes to mine stuff. That's like his thing. I forget what he's called. Let me go see. He is called...
Hey, look, it's Estigon. A Rapidash.
He's a little 48. Takes a little while to get there. Okay. Let me see if we have the stuff. I do. Alright, come over here.
What is over here? I can't see you through all the Pokemanes.
I can see you, because your name is over there. I am 180 degrees from you.
Give me an ordinal direction, because I don't have any numbers on there.
Turn around, and I can always come over there. I can see you. There you are. You're coming. This guy built your thing. Go take that off the bench. Yeah. Congratulations. You can ride Polaris.
Sweet.
All right. Come over here. See if we got the fixings to make one of these. We do. Yay! Let me put my guy on here. These guys come over and help. Those guys are the best ones in the game. Watch how fast they craft. It's like, swoop, done. Love that
shit. Are you talking about sexy Mewtwo?
Yeah. Yep. Take that out. There you go. Bam. All right. That is the best shield in the game. We need some Palmetto. All right, you're going to do the easy one. Go mine all these black rocks and stick it in any box you want. And I'll mine the metal rocks.
The coal?
Yep, we need it. We're going to need more of both pal metal, and we need refined metal at the same time. I'm just going to gear you out, because that way you're super pimped out as best as I can get you at this level.
What level are you?
48. I mean, the cap's at 50, so... And there's still stuff to do.
Well, it took me about 11 hours to get to where I'm at. 25.
All right, you're halfway there.
Well, no. That's not video game logic.
Yeah, I know.
Halfway to 50 is... 25 is not halfway to 50.
Oh, I got food on me. What the hell? I got red balls. Oh, I just shouldn't have those either. I don't use those anymore. All right, I'll get for you when I'm done. I wish we could get you into this game. You'd probably like it. It's basically Pokemon with guns. Yeah. And they're honest about their slavery of little animals, unlike Nintendo.
Okay, the black rock. Oh, one more black rock.
Yep, then you can start diving into the metal ones. Nice! You gotta love the old, the mods and stuff. That was the bee's knees at the time, no question. Oh, but I remember the first time I saw one of those, my buddy had one. It was just, I was just so blown away. It was like, this is crazy what this can do. A 1200. Absolutely. I had a Sega Genesis. Well, I knew I liked computers after seeing that thing for sure. I was 23, I think. I wanted one so bad as a kid. We were poor, dude. We couldn't afford that shit. Well, you gotta remember those were what? $2,000?
Are you in the 80s? Shooting the rock?
I don't know why it does that. It shows that, but no, I am not shooting the rock.
Like fucking downtown Baghdad over here.
I am not shooting the rock. It does that to somebody else too. I don't know why. We need, how much of this can we make? We will make half of that. Okay, that one's going. Wanna go over here. Turn this one on. Here, let's see. We need to put my bird on it. This stuff. Yep, make as much of that as can. Perfect. So we got both kinds of ingots running. Hey, you're gonna get levels in here. I just saw you get one. Because we were open. Oh, well.
25.
Oh, then it must have been one of your creators that got it.
Yeah, it's probably that. It's probably my Polaris.
Yeah.
And my dragon.
Fly around a little bit while we're waiting. See how it feels.
Do they get tired while they're flying?
Yeah, yeah. You'll be fine. Just don't shift. There's no reason to shift on that.
Oh, shit. Thing. Why am I...
Don't worry. Don't die if you hit the ground. Space bar. they don't have fall damage on the bird.
Space bar.
Yep. Oh, now, rising takes it, but how fast is that shit, huh?
Yeah, it's pretty quick.
Yeah. That thing is
What's down?
P.
Huh?
P.
Man behind the machine, this is your old pal Jack Nicholson. I would just like to personally thank you for giving me a brain adjustment with all of your special technology. Thank you for hooking me up to the right doozly doobles and jobbly jobbles, if you know what I mean. Although I did have to strap my brain skull into that contraption, I gotta say I had one of the greatest times of my life being hooked up to the interwebs. So thank you very much for introducing me to the worldwide, let's just say worldwide zeros and ones. Let's just leave it at that. It was an experience like none other. And thank you very much for all of your technological wizardry and your highly extensive knowledge about this simulated reality. Take care, buddy.